I'm going to ask you a question that may be familiar to those who work in the pay-for-success field, but not so much for folks who are new to this, which is, if we've identified evidence-based approaches that produce not only savings to government, but better outcomes, why not just fund them directly? In other words, what are some of the reasons why public leaders may want to take the pay-for-success approach?
Well, only high-quality programs get these kind of outcomes. And typically, what government will do is they fund activities rather than outcomes. It's very important to have an outcomes-based financing methodology so that government is paying for the outcome as opposed to the activity. What private funders bring to the table is a level of due diligence that you rarely see in government. There is a tremendous amount of investigation, data collection, analysis that goes into picking a provider for a pay-for-success transaction. So the scrutiny and the due diligence as to whether or not the program is actually achieving outcomes is much greater. Therefore, government knows that high-quality programs are being funded, and they will fund only for outcomes. Also, it transfers risk, I mean, from government to the private funders. If the outcome metrics are not met, then government doesn't pay. And that transfer of risk has a lot of value.
We've got a small but growing number of evidence-based grant programs in the U.S. that do undertake that type of due diligence. So luckily, there are more programs today that match the spirit of pay for success, but I very much understand your point. Am I right that it's also a way to raise capital to fund an intervention when you might not have the money in a city or county budget to fund it otherwise?
Yeah, absolutely. We have this age-old problem, particularly in education, where we know prevention works. We know early intervention works, high-quality early intervention, and I do want to emphasize that. But we have finite resources, and we still have the teenagers today or the folks today that we have to remediate. How do we shift funds from remediation to prevention when we still have the need today and we have finite resources? Well, social impact finance bridges that gap by bringing in outside resources, private funding, to fund the intervention, and they will get paid back once the reduction in remediation is achieved and that cost avoidance or cost savings is achieved. The other thing is that, you know, while there's no theoretical obstacle to raising taxes or borrowing, for instance, you know, our political reality doesn't always make that possible. And it really helps in improving the amount of resources that goes to very highly effective preventive services when you have budget constraints the way that we do.